today on Real Radio.
And it's wrong for you to say, well, listen, all you need to do is pray the sinner's prayer. Don't ever do that to someone. You will inoculate them against eternity. If that person's not getting it, you don't end it by saying, well, why don't you just bow your head and pray the sinner's prayer? You will actually add to the condemnation of that person spiritually.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues now in his topical series called What Christians Believe. Now, the early on lessons in this series address the fundamentals of our faith, including what's covered on today's broadcast. When we say that we're saved, it means, quite obviously, that we are saved from something. That's what pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs deals with now in his mini-series called What Christians Believe About Salvation.
And you can be easily convinced to either do something or believe something without the proper information, and you can get hurt in a spiritual sense, terribly hurt. Salvation demands that we face the obvious, and salvation demands that we understand that we need a Savior who saves us, and that implies clearly that we're lost and we cannot save ourselves. Man cannot save himself. Modern day liberal theology wants us to believe that we can do something to better our condition before God. Church, do we all understand that? Does anybody not understand that? The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The good news is Jesus Christ loves sinners, and he died for sinners. The Bible says he died for the whole world. And so when you understand that, see, you can quickly get swallowed up in grief. You know, if you go to a fire and brimstone kind of church, you know, that's all it is. You're a sinner and you're going to burn. You know, if you don't turn, you're going to burn. And after a while, even if you've turned, you still feel like you're going to burn. And you just walk around like this. You know, you're all bummed out. That can overwhelm you. What you must quickly do when you say, yes, there is a fiery judgment for those who reject salvation, but what are you going to do with salvation? Are you going to accept it today? Jesus loves you. You know, the gospel. If you keep preaching about someone's fiery end and never give them the loving truth of God's salvation, you'll destroy people. The truth is we were, those of us who are Christians, heading down that path of destruction. But we've experienced salvation. And so what Christians believe is this, that salvation is the paramount doctrine of Christianity. That there is no greater meaning, there's no greater message, there's no greater mission to what we believe than salvation. The Bible says, go ye therefore into all the world and preach the gospel. Why? What is the gospel? Listen carefully. Those of you who are in Bible school, you might want to jot this down. A lot of people miss this one. What's the gospel? What's the first word in the gospel? The first word of the gospel is repent, second word, believe, and then on the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible says you shall be saved. There is no salvation. Church, listen, you cannot have salvation. You can be deceived into thinking you do, but you cannot have salvation without accepting or receiving the true gospel. And the true gospel is the first words out of the mouth of Jesus. It's the first words of the mouth of Peter and out of Paul. Peter, Paul, Mary probably would have said the same thing. John and all the apostles, it is repent and believe and thou shalt be saved. Change your mind is the word metanoia in Greek for repent. Change your mind, put your trust on Christ, you'll be saved. Salvation. And that's the greatest paramount doctrine of our Christian faith, that mankind can be saved. Jesus Christ, the Bible says, came into the world to save, what did Paul say? Sinners. He says of himself that he is chief. Paul saw himself as the biggest sinner that ever lived. The reason why that's true is because Paul saw himself in light of Jesus Christ. And every Christian sees himself or herself as the biggest sinner that's ever lived. We are a walking contradiction. We truly are. Because those of us who are the happiest have seen ourselves in the light of Christ that we're the worst. How can we see ourselves as the worst and be the happiest? Because when you find out about the person who has sinned much, the Bible says, Jesus says, and is forgiven much, that same person loves God much. So only through our wonderful Lord and Savior Jesus Christ can we be lost in this world, saved, redeemed by His grace and His mercy, and be lovers of God. And having that confidence, we are bold. Now, if you come out of this message tonight thinking, well, what a depressing message that was, then you've missed it. Salvation. To those who understand that they can't rescue themselves, when the gospel message comes to their lives, it is like a great, wonderful life preserver thrown to them at sea. And you hang on to it. We're going to look for the next 3 weeks at this topic of salvation. This first week, we're going to look at this, and that is the meaning of salvation, the why of salvation. Next week, the message of salvation, who can be saved, is what we'll look at next week. And then the mission of salvation, where? Where is salvation to be experienced? The why, the who, and the where over the next 3 weeks. Number one, we'll look at this. What Christians think about salvation, the meaning of salvation, we look to the why of it. The word salvation and found in the Bible is used in a very specific way. But the word salvation in the world is loosely used to many forms. You hear people say things like this: oh, that job was my salvation, or he's been my salvation. The world will downplay that word salvation. The truth of the matter is, salvation, according to the biblical meaning of it, is a very specific thing. It's what the Bible has engineered into it from Genesis to Revelation. It is a story, it is a message, it is the reality of man being redeemed. I've often held up to you the Bible and showed you that in the first few chapters of the Bible, you've got the creation event. You've got all these pages here marking the creation event. Here's Adam and Eve in the garden and God's creative powers and all of that. And you've got the fall, where Adam and Eve disobey God. And then you've got the rest of the book of God getting them back by calling them to repentance and faith in God. The creation, right here, and redemption, God's love letter to us. It's all about salvation. So the meaning of salvation, the biblical salvation, that very truth, that doctrine stands altogether apart from the world's view of salvation. We're going to look at a few things. Number one, this. Why is salvation so important? Why is that such a vital doctrine to us? And I just really encourage you to pay close attention and you examine your heart to determine, as Paul said, whether you be in the faith or not. Question, don't answer. Just think about it in your head. How do you know you're saved? On what basis does God save you? Has salvation changed your life? Are you adding anything, or are you expected to put anything on your part towards salvation? You must know the answers to these questions. You can't just skim over this. What is your understanding of salvation? Is it biblical? The premise to this series is the fact that so many churches, so many movements or ministries are not addressing this topic of salvation, as we quoted in the opening study of our series about how the recent polls, people are confused and unable to define what Christianity or salvation means. Why is salvation so important? Well, the first thing is to consider its doctrine. The Bible declares that mankind was created in perfection. Why is salvation important? Number one, the Bible declares that mankind was created in perfection. Adam and Eve. It's amazing to think, isn't it? Adam and Eve were perfect. Isn't that weird to think? They were perfect. They were created in perfection. God had made all that there was, and He said, it is good. And that included Adam and Eve. We have a tendency to, oh man, if I were in the garden, I wouldn't have done what they did. We can't say that. Now you might say, well, you know what, Jack, that's my issue. If God, who knows everything, knew that they were going to sin, why did He place them in the garden knowing that they were going to sin? Answer is so incredibly easy. From the scripture, God knew before the world was ever created what Adam and Eve would choose. Your argument or your struggle actually confirms the hope that you're looking for. God knew Adam and Eve were going to blow it, and he created them anyway, and he knew in advance, before they were ever created, that he would send his son, Jesus Christ, to be their Redeemer as he is ours. He did not let man's sinful failure derail his desire to bestow upon us love and affection. Salvation is important because as Adam and Eve lived in perfection, they sinned and they fell out of God's grace, so to speak, out of God's fellowship. Tragically, Adam and Eve had sinned and Eden was lost. Perfection was lost. The Bible says in the moment that sin entered the world, death came into the world, the book of Romans says. Paradise was lost. And with all of that, so was fellowship with God. In the midst of the garden where God once walked with them personally, now that Adam and Eve had entered into sin, mankind was lost. And so fellowship was broken. So why is salvation important? That man might come back into fellowship with God again. In Genesis 3, verses 8 and 9, it says that Adam and Eve heard the voice of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord. I tell you, that is a very pathetic act if you think about it. They knew how great he was. They knew of his power. But sin initially quickly began to pollute their thinking that they could somehow hide from God. Why would you want to hide from God? He was the only one who could have forgiven them. He was the only one who could have pardoned their sin. I believe, based upon the Bible and the nature of God, I believe that if Adam and Eve would have jumped out from behind that bush and said, listen, we give up. We completely blew it. We sinned against you. Please forgive us. I think, based upon the Bible, God would have forgiven them. I think they could have been restored. What did they do? The exact opposite. They began to justify themselves. The Lord called on to Adam in Genesis 3, 9, and he says, Adam, where are you? You think God knew where Adam was? God knew where Adam was. If it wasn't so tragic, it'd be funny. He's standing there looking like, you know, the Jolly Green Giant, dressed up like a bush. Standing like this. Adam, where are you? She probably, you know, achoo. Leaves are shaking. God knew where he was. I think God was trying to get a confession out of Adam. And Adam is busted. And Adam blames his wife. It's the woman you gave me. That's what he said. What kind of an answer is that? Adam, what have you done? It's the woman you gave me. Man, is he not just one of us now? And then the woman. She justifies. She goes, Adam's justifying himself, and the woman, it's the serpent. And there's, you know, the serpent. It's like, ah. J. Vernon McGee says the serpent was just there. He didn't have a leg to stand on. He was busted. Blame, 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 blame. Pass it down. Just pass it down. Isn't that not our culture now? I tell you, the greatest way to healing, I tell you right now, the greatest way to healing is to confront yourself regarding your sin with God. Stop hiding it. The Bible says if you hide your sin, you'll never prosper. Forsake it. That is, take it before the Lord. God loves us. If we don't confess our sin to him, he says, be sure of this. Listen, some of you need to hear this. If you're covering your sin, he says, be sure of this. Your sin will find you out. Okay, listen. That means it's going to point to you. Like this. Now watch. He first says to us, if you've sinned, confess your sins because I'm faithful and just to forgive you of your sins. Are you with me? But if you don't do that, if you try to cover it up, he says, your sin will find you out. This finger begins to point at you, so to speak. And then God will somehow tell other people. And they'll say, hey, you know what? Well, how do you know? Oh, you do? No, that never happened. You want to avoid that. Go to God and confess your sin. Don't hide it. It's only after you hide it and suppress it and not take it to God that God says, I will shout it from the rooftop. Why does he up the ante? To get you to confess. He wants it removed out of your life. Why? So you can enjoy your salvation. Amazing. Do you have sin in your life? Have you done something you ought not to have done? Forsake it. Get out of it. And go and confess to God. Don't stand up here and confess, and you don't have to tell me about it. I got enough in my head. Go to God, as the book of Hebrews says. Confess to him who is able to forgive you. But don't cover it up. salvation is so important. And Adam and Eve had that opportunity, I believe, to confess. They didn't. And from that moment on, sin has been passed down throughout the human race. Matthew 18, verse 11. Mankind in a separation from God. Matthew 18, 11. For the Son of Man has come to save that which was lost. According to Jesus Christ, the human race is lost and needs to be saved. You say, well, Pastor, I'm having a hard time with this Christianese. Tell me what lost means. It means that we are alienated from God. We do not think God thoughts. We do not do God things. We do man things, women things. We do selfish things. We do our own thing. And we forsake God. That's how we're born. That's how we live. And the Bible says that we're lost. We're doing our own thing. We're heading down our own path. And brother, are we going there quick? We just don't know where we're going. But we're going there fast. The Bible says there's a way that seems right to every man. Women, just ask every man. There's a way that seems right for every man. I know what I'm doing. Get out of my way. There's a way that seems right to every man, the Bible says, but that way ends in death. The greatest acts of benevolence, the greatest acts of love and compassion in this world, the Bible tells us that if it's not in the love of God, as found in Corinthians, it's nothing more than an empty act, wood, hay, and stubble. Because connected to man's motive often is this opportunity he hopes to redeem himself somehow, because there's a sense in every human being that we're lost and we're trying to find our way home, so to speak. And so the Bible says mankind is in need of a way back to God. Salvation provides that way. But that way back, listen, church, is expensive, that way back to God. It's exclusive, it's singular, it's narrow. The Bible declares that it's through Jesus Christ alone that we come back to God. And somebody might take issue with that and say, oh, here you go, you Christians, a narrow way. Yes, it is a narrow way, but we didn't make it up. Please don't think that we just made that up because, you know, we're trying to be exclusive ourselves. The Bible says it's a narrow way. You see that very message of salvation. People fight against it because we want this modern day liberal, just open up the gates and it doesn't matter. As long as you're sincere, just go for it. It doesn't matter what you believe. Just be sincere. Adolf Hitler was sincere. Mussolini was sincere. Karl Marx, Stalin, they were sincere. You can be sincere and miss heaven altogether. You can even be sincere about your religion. Listen, the people who are in cults, they are sincere. They have to go door to door. They have to do works to enter their concept or their realm of heaven. Oh, they're sincere, but they're sincerely wrong. Not according to me, but according to Jesus Christ in the Bible. Salvation is of the Lord. And that exclusive, that singular, narrow, expensive route, the Bible declares, is through Jesus alone. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 1 through 4. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 1 through 4 says, moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preach, says Paul, which also you received and in which you stand, by which also you're saved. If you hold fast that word which I preach to you, unless you've believed in vain. For I delivered to you, first of all, that which I also received, that Christ, listen, here it is, died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again on the third day according to the Scriptures. So we understand that salvation is incorporated in the gospel message. In fact, it is the goal of our church experience. It is our goal in our church mission. It is our goal in the message. That the children of God, that the Christians would grow in the strength and in their faith, but also that those who don't know Christ would be saved. Saved from what? From their sins. In Galatians chapter 1, verses 6 through 9, so unique and expensive is the gift of Christ in salvation. Paul said in Galatians 1, 6 through 9, I marvel that you are turning away so soon from him who called you into the grace of Christ to a different gospel. Bible's a gospel by the way of legalism, which is not a gospel, which is not another, he says, but there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than what you have had preached unto you, let him be anathema or cursed, or let him be damned. As we have said before, so now we say again, if anyone preaches any other gospel to you than what you have received, let him be damned, says the Bible. So unique and expensive is this gospel message that brings about salvation, the Bible condemns any other gospel attempt. The way back is so expensive and exclusive, singular and narrow, that in Acts chapter 2, verse 21, it says, and it shall come to pass that whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. To be saved, you must what? Call upon the name of the Lord. You can't become a member of Calvary Chapel and expect to get to heaven. You can't be baptized as an infant or as an elderly person and expect to trust in that to get you to heaven. The Bible doesn't say that. Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord, and that means you are acknowledging his authority. That's what that word name means. And that you are coming to him with a logical mind. You are declaring, I am accepting Christ. I'm coming to him and I'm calling upon him. Romans 5:10. For if when we were yet enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son, Jesus Christ, how much more now, having been reconciled to him, shall we be saved by his life? Saved, salvation. Romans 10:13. For whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. The meaning of salvation and the why of it, what does salvation mean? This is important. Many people today think that because they're Christians, or they can name the name Christian, that they've somehow linked on to salvation. So we don't want them to think that. So what does it mean? Well, let me put it to you like this. The meaning of salvation, as I said earlier, is paramount because it makes a grand assumption that we need saving. Salvation demands that we understand that we need saving. Now watch. Many of you have traveled by air, or you will even this week travel somewhere. When you get on that, when you go over here to Ontario Airport and you get ready to get on that flight, do you have your, you got your check-in bags? Okay, you got your, you know, your backpack, whatever you're toting around. Do you carry a parachute? Can you imagine? In fact, that would, you know what? Those of you who are entrepreneur types, you ought to invent a backpack that looks just like a parachute. That'd be kind of funny on an airplane, don't you think? I think I'd get a kick out of it. But because can you imagine somebody showing up and they get their bag and it looks just like a parachute? In fact, it even says parachute. Nobody takes a parachute on a United Airlines. Why? Because you get on the plane with full intentions of landing at your destination, even though the building says terminal. Isn't that scary? Isn't that weird? That's weird. But nobody carries the parachute onto the plane. You are fully expecting to land at your destination. You carry the parachute when you want to be saved from the fall. If you go up at Elsinore over here and you get up into that airplane and jump out, you better have a parachute. Why? Because you're going to fall. You've jumped out a perfectly good airplane. You better have a parachute because you're going to fall. And that parachute will save you from the fall.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs here on Real Radio in a study called What Christians Believe About Salvation. It's a look at what God's written word says about our sinful condition and the only way that we can be reconciled to our Creator. What Christians Believe About Salvation, it's actually a mini-series and part of Pastor Jack's collection of topical studies called What Christians Believe. Now again, this is a series within a series, which means there's a whole lot more ahead. So please join us again on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now remember, you can always go online to realradioactive.org and listen to today's edition of Real Radio as many times as you'd like. You can also hear past programs. You can even subscribe to our podcasts of Real Radio if you'd like. Just visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. And you'll know right where to point and click. realradioactive.org. Our telephone number, 877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-RR-RADIO. RR Radio. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.